Kale and Company weekday mornings 6 till 10.
Good morning, Kale and Company News Live on this, I'll say, raw, rainy, sloppy on the roads, very wet weather and chilly, cold weather as well. We're still in the mid-50s today, full forecast coming up. We are sponsored this morning in Kale and Company News Live this Thursday, May the 22nd, by D&K Appliances. So in the news, I'll begin with a follow-up story, and this one is one that we have talked about. The gunman, according to police, had just broke into Winfield Heights apartment, killing a man in a woman's bed. Philadelphia police calling this some kind of a love triangle shooting. So in the headlines this morning as we get this update, so Winfield Heights, this happening, they believe it was some kind of a jealous rage, a love triangle, they're calling it. And so this is an apartment inside the Helston right along Conshohocken Avenue. And so this happened in the wee hours of this morning. 35-year-old man shot in the head and chest in a bed, and the first responders pronouncing him dead on the scene. And so this was the victim lying there on the bed, shell casings there. And so they believe that the shooter stood very close to the victim when the four shots were fired, this according to Philadelphia police, and that he was clearly the intended target. So this took place inside the woman's apartment where some furniture and other items had been overturned. So they believe that this, you know, jealous rage, this love triangle, however you want to say it, was the motive. And they believe the woman is also a witness, had a relationship with both of these men. After the shooting, the suspected gunman dragged the woman from her apartment, according to police, but she did not suffer life-threatening injuries. So this, an active investigation, obviously a lot of 911 calls from those in the apartments, homicide investigators looking into this one. And so a very disturbing situation to wake up to this morning, certainly, as they've recovered the gun. They have a suspect in custody.
Boy, the crime is just, I feel like this is like 8 straight days of just heinous attacks in the city. Remember we had that stretch where I said, boy, where'd all the shootings go? We get back to the shootings? Oh, we've gotten back to them.
Well, luckily Larry Krasner is gonna be in charge for another few years. So.
Yeah. All these tweets I got from people that live in the city that are Eagle fans, homicide rates are down. Yeah, that's the only metric you're looking at? Okay.
Did you guys see the... I don't know if you played it yesterday, Dawn, where he basically said F around and find out.
Yeah.
To who? Opposing fellow prosecutors and cops?
Roll this.
If it should turn out that I have a Republican opponent. if it should turn out that I have a question for that opponent and his rich friends from far away. And that question is, which part don't you like? The safety or the fairness? And under the fairness is the freedom. Which part don't you like?
Hang on a second, because there's more to this.
Okay.
What is he talking about?
He's acting like a tough guy.
And yeah, but safety?
Yeah.
Safety.
By the way, him bragging about being reelected in a city that hasn't had a Republican DA in almost four... Dawn and I were talking about this last night. In almost four decades, you know, going on 80 years without a Republican mayor. That would be like being a sports radio host or a news talk radio host that didn't have a competing station to go against and was bragging that they're number one. Dude, you dumb. Go anywhere else and let's... I don't know what it is about Philadelphia. I don't live here. It's your problem. You vote for Krasner. You vote for Democrat mayors. That's your issue. I only come in here for work and then I get the hell out. But that being said, like, let's see if Larry Krasner would succeed elsewhere. I mean, Mr. Jack McCoy. Fraud.
And I will say this to whatever, whoever possible Republican opponent there might be. You keep this up, you might educate the whole country.
He's morons surrounding him.
You keep this up, you keep effing around.
Oh my God, you're not.
in November, you're going to find out.
I love that he's acting like he's street. Yeah. You go F round, yeah. You go find that dude. You're a country club elitist D-bag. Stop with the code switching, Holmes.
So we have that one going
God.
On. And
by the way, that video courtesy of Philly Crime Update. Thank you guys for doing great work over there. He's reprehensible. Mm-hmm. He's absolutely reprehensible.
Yep.
The other issue, two big stories we're following in D.C., obviously following local reaction, security being beefed up locally, for example, at the Weizmann, Jewish museums, synagogues, and that sort of thing, after these two staff members of the Israeli embassy in D.C. were shot and killed last night while leaving an event at a Jewish museum, that suspect screaming Free Palestine after he was arrested. And the other story this morning that we are following for you, the breaking news that the House has just passed the so-called Big Beautiful Budget Bill, advancing it
on
now.
This vote, the yeas are 215, the nays are 214, with one answering present. The bill is passed.
That was House Speaker Mike Johnson obviously speaking out about that. I know that they're holding many news conferences on Capitol Hill talking about this, but now it goes to the Senate side to gain passage, something that President Trump certainly this week has pressed Republicans to get it together, unify, and vote for this thing.
Boy, that would be a nice way to head off into Memorial Day weekend, would it not?
Well, I think, to your point, I mean, that's the hope by Trump that they get this done.
Mm-hmm.
As far as in D.C., what happened with that shooting, very disturbing, as these individuals were leaving an event at the Capitol Jewish Museum. This suspect, a gunman, approaches a group of four people, opens fire on them, unarmed, individuals. 30-year-old Elias Rodriguez of Chicago, that's the suspect, is identified now as 30-year-old Elias Rodriguez of Chicago. They're identifying him. He was pacing outside the museum right before that shooting, walking into the museum after the shooting, and then was detained by event security. This according to authorities.
Yeah, we have the video of him being detained where he screamed Free Palestine. It's Cut 18, Phil.
Outside!
No, no, no.
So I know that across the nation, this is condemned in the 6 a.m. hour. Greg Plate, Attorney General Pam Bondi, among others, speaking out about this and mentioning that former Judge Jeanine Pirro, who now serves as the U.S. Attorney, obviously in Washington, will prosecute this case. So a vow for justice.
Boy, she gets thrown right into the fire.
Yes.
I mean, not even there for, 2 weeks? High-profile case.
This is true.
The judge is on the case.
I mean, this story is just horrendous. And yep. We have such a problem here. And nobody seems to want to address it.
No. No, they're more worried about 59 white farmers.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Uh-huh.
A stunning attack.
Right.
And so,
It really makes those hearings yesterday with Marco Rubio, where Van Hollen and the rest of those D-bags, arguing for Abrego Garcia. Again, last night, Chris Van Hollen was on, with his love letter to Abrego Garcia. Not just that, but all these college students, with these student visas and everything, mm-hmm. screaming Free Palestine.
Yeah.
And these senators are like, we need to keep him in the country. They just wrote an op-ed.
Yeah.
Yeah, these people are writing op-eds and then gunning down Israeli officials.
Oh, yeah. Columbia students. Columbia students at graduation yesterday or 2 days ago got their degrees, and as soon as they were handed to them, they were lighting them on fire.
Yeah. By the way, if you like Palestine so much, go there.
Yeah.
Go there.
Go to Gaza. Go hang out.
The victims identified as Sarah Milgram and Yaron Lashinsky. So Yaron, a research assistant, Sarah organized visits and missions to Israel. So they were leaving the event from the Capitol Jewish Museum. And so I apparently these were all, it was once again, you know, you have young people, a researcher's assistant, young people meeting at this planned event and being targeted by this individual. Just a stunning event, as we've been reporting.
Mm-hmm.
The other follow-up I wanted to say to you is that police are now, earlier we talked about the 12-year-old boy who was shot. He died. They said it was, in fact, an accidental shooting. So police speaking out saying it's his, the 14-year-old brother is the one who accidentally shot the 12-year-old. And so that's the update that I wanted to bring you. We're also watching within the next couple of hours in the trial of former Philadelphia police officer Mark Dial, charged with third-degree murder after that tragic traffic stop that was August of 2023 in the fatal shooting of Eddie Irizarry. Watching for the jury, as now this has been handed to the jury, so a full day of deliberations will continue after that emotional testimony with former officer Dial. He was sobbing on the stand, as well as the Irizarry family. They were crying in court, but Officer Dial telling in his testimony how he believed he was about to be shot and killed, how he, after shooting the suspect who he believed had a gun, because his partner pulled his gun out and said, you know, Mark, he's got a gun. So after shooting, then tried to save Irizarry, they rushed him to the hospital, and his reaction of devastation when this young man, the same age as him, both 27, died at the hospital.
You think about the contrast here of when to shoot and having a gun and who should have one. Cops in this day and age, because of district attorneys like Larry Krasner, have to be almost absolutely certain that, well, if it's a knife, I mean, I shouldn't have discharged my firearm. And a guy like Mark Dial might go down for that. Yet in the previous story you mentioned, we have a 12-year-old who gets shot by a 14-year-old with a semi-automatic because the parents are not responsible enough or not good enough parents in general to teach their kids about firearms or keep them out of their hands, and you end up with a 14-year-old that, you know, kills presumably his brother or sister right in the head. It's just the world we're living in.
So former Officer Dial could spend, he faces years in prison if convicted. His defense team argues this was a horrible tragedy but not a crime, and they claim that former Officer Dial exercised reasonable force, believing that, in fact, his life was in danger. I'll just headline one other story that we haven't talked a ton about, even though we've talked about what led up to this. But the Food and Drug Administration officially releasing the information that they will not approve any COVID-19 vaccines for many Americans unless they have the trial data showing the benefits outweigh the risks. And that from, among others, FDA Commissioner Dr. Marty McCarry.
Mm-hmm. Good. This should be, and by the way, them not approving it doesn't mean, unless I'm misunderstanding this, if you're a parent, you can still get your kid vaccinated for it, right?
Yes.
Yeah, it's the way it should be. If you want to give it to your kid, good. Should never have been a mandate for these kids to have to take any vaccine for COVID. Well, almost entirely never at risk, short of the rare random case.
Yeah, so they're what they're saying they're asking for, to your point, more tangible evidence and studies about the vaccines. As far as our Phillies, hot JT Realmuto, Trey Turner, Bryce Harper hit home runs. Philadelphia Phillies beating the Colorado Rockies 9-5 last night, 6th straight victory.
Yes.
So we can celebrate that one.
Good teams beat bad teams. That's the way it's supposed to be.
And the tush push prevails. We've got that going on, which is nice for our Philadelphia Eagles.
They sent Jason Kelce all the way out there. Did you notice that?
I did.
Retired Jason Kelce was out there advocating on behalf of the push and the science behind it.
By the way, Sergeant Mark Fusetti's on our YouTube chat. He says he's been in the courtroom and he believes Dial will not be found guilty.
Yeah. Maybe I'm rooting for it.
Yeah, that's the hope and prayer.
Mark also thought Pat Dugan was going to, you know.
Hoped. You know, look, we don't know what a jury will do, but yeah. The evidence was compelling. And to, you know, Mark Fusetti's point, you know, the fact that the the only real expert, admitted that he had not even been presented or studied what the plan is, what the training is. It was a very bad look. And yesterday's emotional day, you know, with an officer the same age of the individual who ends up tragically killed in a traffic stop.
Did you say McMonagle is representing Dial?
Yeah, Brian McMonagle.
Okay.
Started out, he was the youngest prosecutor at the point back in the day, but ironically, if you say it's ironic, started out as a young prosecutor back in the day in Philadelphia. So in other words, worked for the very office that Krasner works in, mm-hmm. and then moved to the defense side.
Right.
Noted as one of the best in the country.
Yes. And to Mark's point, I mean, if you're going to be found not guilty, you're in good hands with Brian McMonagle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and no doubt, if he is found guilty, this will be appealed.
Yeah.
There's no question. There's enough here.
And also, when you leave the DA's office to go into private practice as a defense attorney, your mortgage payment can go up a little bit.
100%. We will get to that important forecast, especially moving into Memorial Day weekend, in just a moment. We are sponsored by D&K Appliances. Family-owned and operated, offers industry-leading brands like Bosch, GE, Profile, Speed Queen, KitchenAid, Sub-Zero, and more. Their staff are local experts guiding you right through the sales, the delivery, the installation, and the service. You can visit them, D&K Appliances in Newtown Square and Flower Town. I drive by D&K Appliances pretty much every day, and I just like drool over, you know, all of those great appliances. You got to stop in dnkappliances.com.
And what do we agree D&K Appliances stands for? Dawn and Kale?
Yes.
Dawn and Kale Appliances.
Amen. Yes. Dawn, is there a certain appliance that's on your wish list right now? I feel like every woman, every wife is always coveting a certain appliance that they got to have.
It's very sexist of you, Nick Kale.
It's very accurate.
We could covet an appliance, couldn't we?
I'll tell you what I'm really coveting. What? I want to get one of those refrigerators with the built-in monitor.
Monitor?
Yeah.
Like the built-in screen?
It like has Wi-Fi to it?
Yeah.
Yeah. I want to be able to tweet while I refill my ice cup.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Yeah.
By the way, I've had some of those smart refrigerators.
You don't like them?
They don't last.
Well, you've advocated for a long time that the old white ice box
White Whirlpool thing that's probably 45 years old.
Yeah. Don't get rid of it.
In my basement, and it never...
Stock that up with Yingling.
Yeah, it never breaks. Never breaks. I've gone through two refrigerators since then, and that Whirlpool, 45-year-old Whirlpool, still works.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would say new oven. And by the way, think of Rich Scioli. All he talked about was his oven. You know what I mean? So not in my house, unfortunately, mm-hmm. but more men nowadays cook than the women and the wives.
I cook 3 days a week.
See?
Yeah.
I grill.
So that counts.
So like I'll grill once or twice a week.
I am actually, speaking of coveting items, not to give out free ads, but I really want to get a Blackstone grill.
It's a game changer.
Oh my God,
it's a game changer.
You can do breakfast on it.
That's the best thing for it. They don't, to be honest with you, and they're not an advertiser, so I don't care. They don't make the best burgers. Like I still do the old fashioned Weber for burgers.
Okay,
but like a good breakfast, absolutely, right. Blackstone is the way to go.
Yeah, I mean, you throw onions and peppers on there, and
put
eggs,
some sausage links, sausage, some eggs, bacon. Some bacon. Yep. Yeah, that's a damn good breakfast.
Are the Blackstones good for steak?
Nah.
Yeah, that's what I'm worried about.
My neighbor and I have this, Dawn knows him, my neighbor and I have this argument all the time. He's like, dude, it makes the best. I'm like, no, it doesn't. The Weber still makes the better steaks. It does.
Are you gas or charcoal on the Weber?
Gas.
Okay.
Yeah.
Some people prefer charcoal.
Yeah, no.
No.
I don't do the charcoal.
It's not as good for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, those big ranges with the double oven.
Uh-huh.
We had a Sub-Zero fridge.
Yeah.
And then I replaced it with one of those low energy smart.
Low energy.
And so Larry's like, see, the other one was bad. So, you know, the husband was right on this one. Yeah. I have to admit. But
we like to hear that.
In my house, unlike Greg Stocker's or Nick Kale's or Rich Scioli's, I don't know about Dom, but in my house, if I don't feel like cooking, Larry says, hey, what do you want to order out for delivery?
He doesn't even grill?
No.
He doesn't. Really?
No.
What does he do?
I'm starting to feel like
man of the year compared to Larry.
Wait,
and I'm worthless.
He never grills?
No, wow, never. Okay. I've never seen him grill.
Man, okay.
He's a DoorDash guy.
But he, yeah, totally. Or he'll tell one of the boys, you know, now that they both drive.
Yeah.
Guys,
hey, run to the store and grab me some ribs.
By the way,
he looks beautiful. He's tall, blonde, blue eyed.
Thank you. I thought you were talking about me. by the way, this D&K appliances for the sales rep.
Pull this air check home.
Send this air check to him, okay?
All right. We'll say we never did anything for
him.
Remember me at Christmas, too.
But, Nick, nobody will be grilling today. Will they be for the weekend with this forecast?
Oh, the grills will be out for the weekend, Dawn. It's 53 right now. It's only going to go up another degree. Showers throughout the day. But bust out the grills, baby. Friday, 64 and cloudy. 65 and Saturday. 65 and sunny on Saturday. 70 and sunny on Sunday. And then 75. That's probably the sweet spot, the perfect number on Monday for Memorial Day. All brought to you by MTRuhl.com, your Generac generator experts. That's MTRuhl.com. All right, coming up next, 70% of Americans do this. We will tell you what it is on the other side. It's Kale and Company on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Videos that are going viral on social media with the use of artificial intelligence, where you take whatever person you want to take with whatever they've said, you can manipulate what they say and then make them look like a baby. And I've seen baby Elon Musk. I've seen baby Joe Biden.
Yeah, I love these.
These are so good. Anytime somebody tweets them out, I just have to watch every one of them. But I think playing this one makes sense to lead into the conversation that we have about Americans checking out mentally at work. Phil, let's hear from baby Donald Trump, if you will.
Americans are getting lazy. Too many holidays. Too much Netflix. Not enough work. You wonder why the country's slipping? Because half the nation thinks self-care means staying home on government checks. When I was in charge, we worked. We won. Now it's Mental Health Monday, Taco Tuesday, and no one shows up on Friday. You want America to be great again? Try showing up 5 days in a row.
Yes, try showing up 5 days in a row, you leeches. Directly from the mouth of baby 47 right there. 70% of Americans, this is studyfinds.org, 70% of Americans now mentally clock out of work 3 days before taking vacation. They write, according to research conducted by Talker Research and commissioned by Cheap Caribbean, more than half, 59% of Americans, are already mentally out of the office before they even write that automated email response. For the 47% of employed respondents who admit they struggle to focus before vacation, this pre-trip mental drift represents a common workplace phenomenon that employers might want to note. The widespread experience of checking out early comes amid troubling signs of workplace fatigue. A substantial 75% of workers reported recently experiencing mental fog at work, suggesting many Americans are operating at diminished capacity due to burnout. Quote, taking time off to relax and recharge is so important, said Dana Studebaker, the vice president of marketing consumer brands for Cheap Caribbean. Quote, whether it's lounging on a beach, we call that Bidening, or exploring a new destination, vacations let you reset and come back with a fresh perspective. The survey identified clear warning signs that signal when time off is desperately needed. Feeling burnout led the way at 62%, followed by catching yourself daydreaming about escaping, 45%, and becoming irritable with others, 44%. Physical symptoms also emerged as key indicators, with 39% reporting persistent fatigue, regardless of sleep duration, and 35% experiencing low energy, even during the weekends. You know, this is something that I have been pointing out in my life, professionally, personally, for 15, 20 years. I always bring up Thanksgiving, right? Everybody takes off the Wednesday before Thanksgiving. You get Black Friday usually at most jobs. Then they want to stretch it to Monday. And then it became, well, let's get out of here half day on Tuesday. And now Tuesday's out. And then they just take the whole week. You know, I'm going to stand up for the Dawn Stenslands of the world that put in 30 hours of broadcasting excellence a week. The Dom Giordanos, who have more sick time than a teacher who never takes a day off in 30 years. Myself, I feel guilty as hell taking off when I'm puking or I've got the coming out the other end doing morning radio. If this happens at 1:45 in the morning, there's no bailout for me. Who are we going to get in 4 hours' time? You come in, you sludge through, you suck it up, and you work. These people. And you know what it is? It's the office people. It's not the laborer out there. It's not the construction guy. It's not the guy on scaffolding. It's not the guy that's rebuilding entire buildings in 3 years. It's not cops. It's not firefighters. It's not first responders. It's these little office weasels with their long email signatures that sit around with their AirPods in. Here's what I would do, Don. If I was the CEO of a company and it's my operation, I would say every Friday, I want to see your personal phones. I want to see your devices. And I want to see how much time you spent on Facebook, Amazon, Temu, Instagram.
Can I do this with you?
Yes, you can.
Okay.
Yes, well, you can.
How much time you spent on Twitter?
Yes, because it's job related.
Okay.
Professionally related.
Well, they can claim the same thing.
A sales rep watching baby Trump on Facebook at 9:46 on the clock, out. Gone.
Well, legally, your any employer has the right to monitor what their employees are doing.
That's exactly why I would do it. I'd give you one opportunity. If I find out your social meeting or shopping
maybe
online while you're on the clock, you will have your phone confiscated. You will put it in a bin upon arriving, and you can pick it up on the way out. And I don't want to hear, oh, my kid could be this, or I've got special circumstances. It's not my problem. I'm paying you to work. Work. This, which, by the way, now I'll stop being old man and get off my lawn.
Yeah.
I will say this. If you can pull off the efficiency and still get results in a 32-hour work week as opposed to 40, I'm okay with that. I'm also okay, and I might contradict myself a little bit, but I'm going to give you the math here. I would be in favor of 4 10-hour work days with 3-day weekends.
Josh brings up a good point on YouTube.
What?
How about watching Kale and Company on YouTube while at work?
Totally acceptable. And if your boss has an issue with it, tell him to call in.
Because you're multitasking.
That's correct. Yeah,
okay.
You're not consumed with it.
You're
doing your thing, and it actually keeps you sane at work.
Yeah. Yes.
From what you've told us, right?
I mean, mental, 75% of people with mental fog. Now, here's the other thing.
Yeah.
Are they hungover? Like, what?
Life is just too much for them to handle.
Bryn Mawr Builders brings up a great point. Nick checks out every day at 9:38 a.m. You're 100% right.
You start
packing up at 9:41.
Bryn
Mawr Builders, thank you very much.
You're
100% right. We can see you on YouTube.
Physically packing up my stuff.
Who are you talking about?
Checking out. It's not checking out mentally.
Okay.
When am I never not paying attention on this show? I am so laser focused from first tip to the final whistle that I need a 2-hour nap to recharge.
Oh, stop.
I'm like a bad EV. I only have so much electricity, and then you got to go find me a charging port.
Yeah.
That's a good one. You're like a bad EV.
I'm like a bad EV.
Mary says it started with Casual Friday and went downhill from there.
I have no problem with casual dress codes. As long as you perform, that's all that matters. If you want to wear a button-up, or if you want to wear a golf polo as opposed to a suit, if you want to wear a sweatshirt. I love the casual atmosphere we have is in this building. That it's not so stuffy. Not everybody has to be in a suit. Not everybody's in those little isolated, boxed-out cubicles. It's more casual, open space. I think that creates a better work environment and a better work dynamic. But the sheer volume of people that are just not operating at peak efficiency. And I will say, I think all of us here are very fortunate that we do what we love to do, right?
Yeah.
And I'm a firm believer, having been out of radio and having to had a real job, that I hated those jobs. And I'm not wired to work. So kudos to anybody that works for 40 years doing what they hate because it pays the bills. But man, 75% of people at work in a mental fog on a daily basis, that just, I think, speaks to the passion that's very few people have fulfillment-wise for what they do for a living.
Yeah.
Just my thoughts.
No, I mean, I think you nailed it when you said we love what we do for a living.
Mm-hmm.
That's part of it. But also, I think what we all have in common is that it's not all about each of us. There's a feeling of, hey, we're doing something that's meaningful, and it's all about the news, the information. And so I think, to your point, Nick, it's that the individuals doing this, they are so focused and obsessed with themselves,
mm-hmm.
the selfie the selfie age, if you will, the selfie generation,
right,
that they're not satisfied, because the way you're satisfied is to live a purpose-driven life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. My dad instilled this into me at a very early age. I was probably in sixth, maybe seventh grade. And he just kept telling me, get good grades in school, aww, go to college, and get a good job, and define something you love to do, or you are going to be miserable. And he knew my personality. He knew, I mean, like, I hated taking out the garbage. Like, he knew what I love, I'm all in on. And if I don't have an interest in it, man, I do not have an interest in it. I am the worst event worker for my mother-in-law with concessions and catering. If you ever see me in the summer at Music Fest in Bethlehem in that second week of August,
yep,
I want to put a gun in my mouth. It is the worst. It is the worst.
Okay, wait. Are you doing this year?
I do it every year.
Can we all show up?
I do it every year. I go, I got jock itch.
Come on.
Don wants to see Nick put a gun in his mouth. I think that's what we've...
I go home, I get the green bottle of the Gold Bond medicated powder.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
But now she's doing something. Your in-laws are doing something really nice. So you have...
Yeah. I got to live with them for 7 weeks, then work that god-awful event just to get to my finish line.
Oh, my God.
The sacrifices that you have to make in this lifetime.
Well, your parents are in heaven looking down on you, and they're so proud of you.
Nah.
So, nah. They are.
My dad's like, well, you dial back that bourbon book. Haven't you learned anything yet?
Oh.
Not really.
Yeah, not really.
We could all show up.
They're not super proud of you.
No.
We could all show up and say to your in-laws, thank you. You know, thank you so much for all you're doing. And Nick speaks so highly of you and is great. You know, we could, like, help.
My mom's looking down on me. He became a Republican.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHD and on the free Odyssey app.
What's on the cut sheet?
I was told yesterday by our great director of sales, Dave Skopanich, told me, I just asked one thing. Can you please get to the cut sheet on time? 7:45. That's all I ask. Because it's, you know, he wants to start his drive. I think he starts his drive at 7:45. Oh. He wants to start it with a Kutchie.
Okay.
So, Dave Skopanich, this is for you.
This is for you, bud.
Hopefully you're not listening to the camera. What's the Kutchie on this Thursday? Brought to you by Rita's Italian Ice. Rita's is making waves with new Kool-Aid Charcoal Berry Finn Ice. Oh, yeah. With a fun mix of tropical fruit flavor in every bite, it's the must-try treat of the summer. Don't wait. Try Kool-Aid Charcoal Berry Finn Ice at Rita's today. Be cool, eat at Rita's. Thank you, Rita's, for sponsoring, being a lovely sponsor of What's on the Cut Sheet on this Thursday edition, my last edition of the week.
Okay. Yeah, which means I've got to anchor this bad boy tomorrow.
I'll give it to you and Farish and Stensland tomorrow. Don't crash the car.
I try not to, man. It's rough.
New Jersey Democrat LaMonica MacGyver.
I like to call her MacGyver.
She was on CNN last night, and she they asked her a question about facing federal charges. Are you afraid of what's going to transpire now? Do you guys want to hear what her response was?
Sure, it's enlightening.
Roll it.
Congresswoman, you are now facing a federal charge, though. Are you afraid of what's going to transpire now?
You fight on, you fight on, you fight on, you fight on. When your government is doing you wrong, you fight on, oh, you fight on.
I thought, guys, honest to God, I thought that was, like, that was AI, that was a bit.
Kate Boldan was not too enamored with that. She did not see that one coming, did she?
Wow.
Not
nobody did.
Nobody, yeah.
Nobody. Kate's like thinking, oh, God.
Wow.
Oh, no. Her eyes. What a nut job.
Where did this see? Because normally we see it from white protesters, white liberal protesters, mm-hmm, for stupid causes that they're on an 80-20 losing issue, and they're singing these cringe chants. Where did this emanate from?
I don't know.
When did this become a thing? Who originated the singing protest in 2025? We've seen it at Tesla dealerships. We've seen it on the steps of government buildings. Now we get it on live TV.
What? If you're the anchor, what do you do? Be like, shut up!
If I'm the boss of CNN, I'm like, well, that's the most interesting thing we've done on this network in years.
Good point. And like, and the anchor just has to kind of sit there. Like, is this ending anytime soon?
Well, granted, that's her normal stone face anyway.
Oh my god,
she stayed in character.
They've lost their minds.
Yeah.
They've lost their minds.
I mean, she doesn't even laugh, even because she's on, I think, at the time where they usually trot out my boy Harry Enten, which, by the way, I haven't used a Harry Enten data clip for a while.
Yeah.
Might have to work in Harry tomorrow on the big take if there's anything worth noting. Even when Harry Enten's doing his little goofy Joe to camera impression, she never laughs at anything. You can't get that girl to crack a smile for anything.
Man.
But did she ask, you know, McIver about the video that shows her, you know, sure looks on the video as if she's assaulting uniformed law enforcement.
Yeah.
What about that?
Clearly, she knows she's guilty because she's singing instead of saying, I did not do this.
Well,
no, there's video of you doing it, sweetie.
I think there's two guarantees here. 100% guarantee she committed assault. 100% certainty she will never face justice.
Well, Tom Homan commented on this yesterday. Cut two.
She claims she was there on oversight. We open facilities to oversight every day across this country. There are, you know, all you have to do is show up at the facility in a professional manner and request a visit. Go through screening and go see it. We are proud of that facility. I want everybody to go look at it. Maybe all the false narrative will stop about how ICE's detention standards are just so terrible. But she put hands, she shoved an officer, she put hands on her officer. That's unacceptable. These ICE officers, and when you cause a ruckus like that, then that makes that facility unsecure, because officers who should be dealing with the prisoners, very serious prisoners, criminals in that facility, they're dealing with the ruckus outside. It makes the facility unsafe, it's unsafe for the officers, and it's unsafe for the general public. We take the security of those facilities very seriously. She knows how to do oversight. To go there and request to look at it. Don't barge your way in. And regardless of what happens, you don't put hands and you don't shove an ICE officer who's there to protect the facility and protect the public from the people in that facility.
I heard a ruckus. What was that ruckus? Breakfast Club line. By the way, ruckus, a totally underrated word that we need to bring back to our vernacular. If Tom Homan was calling all the shots, I think she would be taken to justice. She would be prosecuted, fullest extent of the law, found guilty of whatever, and the punishment imposed. I just don't believe that we have people that want to do as much to the Democrats as the Democrats want to do to Republicans. Democrats are just savages. They don't care. For some reason, I still have a doubt in my mind that we have the backbone to fight back and fire with fire. But I'll tell you what, here's what we should do, in all seriousness.
Yeah.
Kale and Company road trip to Delaney Hall ICE Detention Center.
Oh, boy.
Let's broadcast live. We'll do a morning remote from Newark, New Jersey. I think it would be a phenomenal day. Ratings bonanza. Let's see if we can line that up.
Do you want to go to Newark? I don't want to go to Newark.
Headlines from Newark. Newark Liberty Airport bracing for more delays.
What else is new?
This weekend, by the way.
Yeah, by the way, if you're flying anywhere this weekend, Godspeed.
Yeah.
I ain't flying anywhere anytime soon.
You think Sean Duffy's going to be able to enjoy his weekend?
Nope.
Speaking of Sean Duffy, I had this yesterday, and I never got to it, so let me get to it now. This is... where are we here?
Do people fly Memorial Day? I would figure that's more of a driving holiday, is it not?
Yeah. I don't know a lot of people that go. Well, maybe they do.
Yeah.
Transportation Secretary Duffy was with Elon Musk at the Tesla Gigafactory in Austin, Texas, to witness the future of autonomous vehicles. What do you guys think of autonomous vehicles?
The ones that drive themselves?
Yes.
I've said this before. I'm scared to death. I would never do it.
Roll a little bit of this video.
Right in Austin, Texas, at the Tesla factory here with Elon Musk.
Hello.
The great. Check this out. This is Optimus. They're robot.
Look at that thing. Look at that thing.
We're here because... we're thrilled about the future of autonomous vehicles. Tesla, one of the great companies that are evolving this technology. I think we're going to be global leaders.
Yeah.
America wants to lead in this space compared to other places in the world. So wanted to come down.
There's a lot of areas. There's a lot of areas aside from Austin. I think there's an area in Arizona that has all those autonomous vehicles. And you literally go out, like, you leave a bar, and it's instead of cabs, it's all just driverless vehicles.
They have them in Nashville.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, they do. Last 2 years or so, I think, beginning of 2023 or early or late 2022, they started rolling out. Have any of you driven, been a passenger in one?
No, I'm not 100%. I don't even like being in cars that other people drive. I trust myself more than anybody else.
Right.
I'm always the driver. Anytime I go anywhere, I don't like taking Ubers just because I don't trust other people.
Right. I just hate the smell of other people's vehicles when I get into an Uber.
I can't imagine getting into a car, and I'm going to sound like an old man here, but I can't imagine getting into a car with no driver.
No.
No.
Yeah. You know, here's a thing. We all love driving, but I believe someday that we will, just as we say to our kids, hey, you never knew a time when you weren't being tracked on a smartphone.
Yeah, I know.
We'll be saying someday, oh, back in the day, we could drive our own vehicle. So I think in part, when you have people with disabilities or people who go out, and we talk about people who are inebriated, intoxicated with whatever medication or seizures or whatever. So there's the safety aspect of it, and also the freedom aspect for people with disabilities, which is wonderful. But on the other hand, robots driving big, huge semi trucks is bothersome. Like, I would never want one of those semi trucks, you know, cross country or whatever, without a human being in it to override if something goes wrong.
Well, you know what? Let me play devil's advocate, and I don't disagree with you, but just for the sake of conversation, with the amount of distracted drivers that we have today, with being on smartphones and, you know, Bluetooth and making a rage video on TikTok about Trump because they can't wait till they get to their driveway. Are we sure that having the robots drive us isn't safer because they won't be distracted?
You're not wrong. You're not wrong.
Like, I don't know. I'm scared of not having a human being in there. But the more I look at human beings that I don't trust, I'm like, you know what?
Guys, I'm telling you, if you've ever done this experiment, if you're doing it right now, if you're 756, if you're on 95 or Schuylkill, and you're kind of in slow traffic, which I'm sure there is a ton right now, just look next to you. Look in front of you. Nobody's paying attention. Everybody has their phone out.
Yep.
Nobody can just sit and listen to the radio or, you know, everybody's doing something else.
Uh-huh.
It is so infuriating.
You think that I'm on social media a lot. I can tell you, if you saw in my house how often my wife and daughters have the phone in their hand. My wife, honest to God, she is text messaging from the moment she is up till the moment she's in bed. And if it's not texting, it's playing that stupid game. What's that game that everybody is playing now on their phone? It's like Tetris, but it's a modern version. And you just tap the different little boxes of colors and they drop down. I'm like, you have no attention. You need to be filled up mentally so much that you just can't do it. And by the way, when she's watching TV, she never watches TV without putting the phone down.
Oh boy.
And I'm like, why am I forced to watch this? And granted, you know, other TVs in the house, I get it. But, like, you're not even looking at the TV. She goes, I'm listening to it. While you're on your phone.
Oh, boy. Well, it must be a fun time.
and then my daughters. Honey, can you
wait till August, kids.
Can you grab a roll of toilet paper? She can't put the phone down at the dining room table to grab the roll of toilet paper to slide the door open to Dad, who's on the throne with no help. Could you not have just put the phone down for the 8 seconds it took you to do this? It doesn't need to be there. Carrying in the groceries, bag of bread with eggs. The phone's got to be in the hand.
You don't keep extra toilet paper in the bathroom?
Well, sometimes I do, but you know that second barrel goes by and you don't realize it. I don't do it. I do a full 20-point inspection before I sit down.
Plus, he lives in a house with all females.
Yes,
so I will. In his defense,
folks, you have no idea what I deal with.
Oh my lord!
But the dog is a male.
He identifies as a male.
Trans. Maybe.
Oh my god!
The trans lab.
Oh my goodness!
All right, a little bit more of this. The autonomous vehicles.
Technology. See what Elon's doing. Tesla's doing. So it wasn't just cars. It's dancing robots as well.
Yes. A natural extension. You can think of a car as a robot on wheels. and the this is a robot clone like the same basic technologies going. Electric motors, batteries.
Look at this.
America's going to change. Our technology is going to change. And a lot of people think of us at DOT as people that wear hard hats and in construction vests. We're at the forefront of making sure American innovation leads the world. And getting the rules right as we do that is critically important. Again, safety is key, but putting things at the right speed, not too fast and not too slow, but let innovators innovate. Yeah. And again, that's what Elon's doing, and that's where it came out.
Wow. I mean, a lot of these, I think ipso facto on the YouTube chat says they've, a lot of the places where they're rolling out these autonomous vehicles or autonomous vehicle zones are cities that were kind of developed around things that aren't as compact as Philadelphia, New York, Los Angeles, you know what I mean? Like where there's so much traffic.
I've seen them in Austin. I've seen them in Nashville and Charlotte.
Is Nashville like a walking city? Do a lot of people walk?
And it's a scooter city as well.
Okay, yeah.
All these dopes went around. And they just leave the scooter everywhere.
Dummy hipsters.
You're going to see a lot of this in the trendy up-and-coming bougie cities.
Yeah.
A lot of the blue cities and red states.
Phil, put up a poll on YouTube, if you will. Driverless cars, yay or nay? Mm-hmm. Yay or nay, driverless cars.
I will say I trust the driverless car more than I do that robot that was next to Sean and Elon.
How are you voting on this, Nick Hale? Are you saying yay or nay?
I am going to... can we leave open for discussion as a third option?
No, yay or nay. Come on.
You know what? Based on the devil's advocate thing of how distracted people, humans are, all right, I'm in. I'll give it a shot.
So you're saying yes?
Yes.
All right.
I'll do it. As soon as I can do it one time, I will do it just to, and I'll report back.
Dawn, are you saying yay or nay?
As Tesla begins the test run of its self-driving taxi service in Austin, Texas next month, I'm going to say it's an inevitable reality. It's happening.
Yeah. No. Yeah, of course.
It's happening, right? You know, before hundreds of thousands of these are going to be on the roads.
Yeah.
And they're saying as early as next year.
Question is for me, because I'm always looking at it because I'm, you know, financially cheap. What's going to be cheaper for me? The cab, the Uber driver, or the self-driving car? I mean, if I can get from point A to point B for $50 with Uber, but the self-driving thing is $75, well, then I'm taking the $50 one.
Crow talking on YouTube says most drivers are driving on autopilot while using social media on their phones. Robots are safer.
Yep.
Probably so, but I never want to give up that freedom.
Me too.
To drive my vehicle.
I love it.
I love to drive.
Oh, yeah. I'm never giving up a vehicle. But I'll tell you what. You say you love driving. I don't love driving.
You don't?
I mean, it's just essentially a necessity. I know you could take, you know, public transportation, but I'm not in love with driving.
I got to tell you guys, I'm probably too old and too responsible for this now, but a big part of me is regretting that I didn't do this when I was younger and I didn't have responsibilities. Just get in the car and drive.
Mm-hmm.
Drive across the country. Like, I do, like, I plan on doing that when I retire or, you know, sometime. But just having no destination, having no place to go, just staying in cheap motels, seeing a bunch of places, like, I want to, like, I should have done that while I had the chance.
I mean, there was a time when I was 16, 18, 21, 23, where I would just drive around just for the freedom of it.
Yeah.
But now at 41, I drive because I have to take the girls to dance or I have to drive.
It's a responsibility. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Fairly recently, you kind of did that, Nick, when you drove the U-Haul with the dog in it.
Legendary moment. Once again, I proved everybody wrong. That's all I do.
YouTube.com/@1210WPHT. Vote right now. Driverless cars, yes or nay? Yes or no? No's are winning right now. 70%. Mm-hmm. Wow.
That's. Yeah. I think it's the love of driving and the fear that they're going to take that freedom away from us. Mm-hmm.
If you want to upset this, upset the apple cart, YouTube.com/@1210WPHT. Vote now.
855-839-1210. Let's get a call here as we continue in the cut sheet. Mark is in Philadelphia. Mark, you're on Talk Radio 1210.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Hey, Nick, it must be the Kristen thing, because my Kristen does the same thing. She'll go to bed with the phone on. I wake up in the morning, it's like the phone's on. It's like, did you ever even go to bed? And also, another thing, as far as a carless driver, I think it'll be good for trucks, but not for cars, because the finger won't be effective with a driverless car. like when you get throw the finger and you yell at it. So. See you guys.
All right, Mark. There he is.
I saw that yesterday, merging onto 676 out here by 30th Street Station, which is every day it's a disaster.
It is.
Nobody can merge.
None.
Can people merge, please?
I know.
Oh, yeah. My God. It's like it's never, and nobody obeys the common courtesy of one car, then another car, then another car. Mm-hmm. Everybody's like, you know, right up on you.
Yeah.
And by the way, the ones doing that, always women.
Yeah.
They're always women.
Mm-hmm.
The guys are the ones that are polite.
Yep.
The women with their big, dumb, white SUVs,
yep.
You know, they can barely see over the steering wheel. Yep. They're right on your butt, and they're like, nope, you're not getting in.
Yep.
Probably, F you.
Probably named Kristen. Uh-uh. Chris in Malvern is next on this topic. Chris, you go right ahead.
I'm conjuring the movie Total Recall, where, you know, the... taxi cab has a humanoid robot.
100%.
Yeah.
Or Minority Report.
Yeah, 1990 Total Recall, way ahead of the curve, by the way. Mm-hmm. Way ahead of the curve. It was.
Yeah, hard to believe, 35 years ago.
You're 100% right.
Good job,
100%
Chris.
100% right. Good job, Chris. Speaking of AI and robots, Pace University was seen using the technology during the commencement ceremony. They, AI, now, you know how they, you know, Nicholas Kale, Dawn Stensley, you know how they do, you know, they announce and everybody comes out. Now, now you go up to the podium, you scan your phone, and AI announces your name.
No.
Yeah, watch this. YouTube.com/at1210WPHD. And by the way, sounds exactly like a human.
Kelly Danko. Sophia Cicero.
Oh, my God. He has, like, one of those scanners.
Emily Acosta. Yeah.
Like he's at Sam's Club.
Yeah, yes, it's exactly.
Sabrina Alley. Congratulations. Jeremy Brosnan. Congratulations.
This one's not working.
Kevin Tops.
There we go. What? I mean.
Caitlin Egan.
No hard names yet.
Sierra James.
What do they do if it's like a really hard
Haley
name?
Haley Vitale.
Wow, there you go.
Oh, my God.
You notice the emphasis
Shania
on the...
Shania Blackwell.
Go back. Go back to Vitale. It was a little AI Italian there. Did you notice the little twang attached to that?
But the last girl was Shania. And they said Shania, like Shania Twain.
Shania Twain.
Her name was Shanya. It was not Shania.
Yeah.
What do we think about this?
I would be pissed as a graduate. I had to pay $37,000 a year, and you can't get a person up there for $25 an hour to shout my name. You had to resort to the robot?
Now, if somehow they had a thing where they were looking at the QR code and you hear the student saying their name, that would be cool.
So,
you hear the student say their own name in their voice, and it's like, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That would be pretty cool.
By the way, Pace University told us it was AI. They said you had to phonetically spell your name, and then it instantly generated audio for the preview.
Oh.
So they previewed it first. They, you know, so like you would write out, you know, Greg Stocker, which is not hard to spell, and then it you would hear a preview.
Okay.
And if it was wrong, if it was a wrong pronunciation, then you could go back and correct it.
Yeah.
Cool.
Amazing. Amazing. It sounds like something Odyssey would do, does it not? You walk into the hub and there's like an AI thing, scope and it's just there scanning QR codes.
I don't know why you go that way.
I just, you know, I could just, this is a very, very interesting position we are in where everything is trending. And I think we had this conversation last night with the AI.
Mm-hmm.
What company was here that we were talking to, Dawn? It was you, it was Dom, it was myself, and was it,
what were you talking about?
About artificial intelligence, and they're going to take over the FM DJs and music people will be out of work.
Well, they're already doing that.
Was it Harmelin Media that was here? There was some company, I forget. Somehow we got on the topic of AI. And then I think you were like, but they can never replace the talk show host.
they absolutely can, guys. They absolutely can.
I don't think they could replace...
Of course they could.
Local news and talk, opinion?
Of course they can. Of course they can. I mean, somebody's going to have to write a script,
Right, well, then it's not authentic.
But then you can... Well, I mean, we basically... People want to go and hear what they believe anyway. So if you program in, give me anti-Trump rhetoric, something will spit it out for you. Give me pro-Trump rhetoric, something will spit it out for
you. I've got to defend this show. I've got to defend us, and I've got to defend myself.
Yep.
There's no AI out there that can predict what I'm going to say on a daily basis, because just when you think I might give Trump or his administration credit for something, I call into question somebody like Pete Hegseth or Dan Bongino. So the AI, you ain't got nothing on me, man. And you ain't coming for my job. You can't do it. Music is predictable because you can program somebody to say,
don't tempt me.
We've got seven more minutes coming up of Shania Twain and Taylor Swift.
Think about how innovative I am with this radio station. First to do YouTube, and you know, now all these Johnny Come Latelys are doing it. Yeah, I'm talking to you, WIP. All these Johnny Come Latelys doing it now. To have the first morning show that's all AI?
Dawn, basically what Stocker just said is if AI can come cheaper at the same results, we are disposable. That's what that was.
But you must think that once you bring that artificial intelligence in, it will find a way to replace you. And that's the real question.
Me.
Botsy,
you being the brand manager.
Oh, of course. Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But also, is it an existential threat? In other words, what if AI figures out we, the humans, who are so primitive, you know, and tribal, maybe we're part of the problem. And then they say, we got to get rid of these humans. I mean, that's where it could end up.
By the way, you're 100% right. Brand managers will be replaced by AI, which is why I keep my toe dipped in the water of morning broadcasting, just so they say, "Well, look, I'm doing two jobs here, so you can't like if you want to take those program director job responsibilities away from me, I'm fine with that." So one more, you know, we're in the graduation season, so you know, there's a theme today to this for the cut sheet. McCallie School in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Do you know where this is, Nick Hale?
I've been to Chattanooga, but never heard of the school.
High school graduates did a very cool thing. And you know me, I don't get sentimental. I'm cold-hearted. I'm a heartless bastard.
Yes, you are.
They did a thing that was very cool. They taped themselves in sixth grade asking themselves in 12th grade questions.
Mm.
And then when they graduated, they went back, they watched the videos, and they answered the question from their sixth grade self.
I kind of like that.
That's very cool.
It is.
Very cool. This happened in Chattanooga, but there is a Philly reference in here.
This kid actually looks like me as a sixth grader.
This is an all-boys boarding school.
Yeah, that definitely wasn't me then.
YouTube.com/@1210WPHT to see this video. It's a very, very, very cool thing. Nick, for those stuck in traffic and not driving, comment along.
Hey, Cannon, this is your sixth grade self. Remember me? I've got a few questions for you.
Hey, Will, this is your sixth grade self. I've got a few questions for you.
Sorry, sitting down.
Hi, Nikinji, this is your sixth grade self. You remember me? I have a few questions for you.
Hey, Christian, this is your sixth grade self, and I got to ask you a few questions.
Let me just stop it for a second. Like, these time capsule things are, like, we've been doing this for, you know, 40 years.
Yeah, this is nothing new.
But to have video of this and, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
And be able to superimpose it together is so, so cool.
Yeah. Sometimes have you ever read the letters that, you know, your younger self or older self wrote to your younger self on, like, how if you could redo your life and all that?
Mm-hmm.
Always very interesting perspectives.
This is what we don't have video, but my kids, their teachers, since they were about third grade, they would write a letter to themselves in third grade, right around sixth grade, eighth grade graduation, and then freshman year. They would have them write a letter to themselves, seal it up, and they said at some point, you know, read it.
Yeah.
But this is amazing to have a video.
Yeah. I'm going
to
record one of myself at 41, and then I'm going to have my wife or my daughters play it back at 61 when I'm on my deathbed.
YouTube.com/@1210WPHD if you want to see this video.
Nick, have your daughters record your daughters now.
I agree.
It's a good point.
Girls.
You know what? Yeah.
What's sixth grade? That's what? That's what 12? Age?
12-ish?
12. So yeah.
But do this now. Like, record them
100%.
Now.
100%. Yeah.
And then, because I think it's also a great talking point for your kids to just remind them of all their dreams.
Yeah. Good point.
All right. Keep going, Philip.
Hey, Ward, this is your sixth grade self. I've got a few questions for you.
Is your favorite hobby still solving a Rubik's Cube, just like me?
I thought it was so tough for being able to do that back in the day.
Hey, Ward, is your favorite food still Mexican?
Oh, definitely, yeah. Chipotle, for sure. Taco Mamacita.
Is your favorite movie still The Waterboy?
My favorite movie definitely is still The Waterboy. 100%. It's a classic.
Is your favorite subject world history, or is it math and science?
Not world history anymore. I'm a science guy now.
Also, what is your favorite sport? Is it still soccer?
The stutter is crazy. No, football, definitely. Go Birds.
Smart and dumb.
Is your favorite sport still basketball? Yeah.
My favorite sport is still basketball. I've loved it all through Macaulay. I love basketball.
Is your favorite movie still Star Wars?
My favorite movie is probably still Star Wars.
What is the biggest life lesson you have learned this far?
Try your hardest, no matter what. You'll feel bad if you didn't do it. You take enough AP classes and hard classes over the 4 years of high school, you'll realize what happens when you don't try hard, so you better do it. You'll end up doing it.
What is the biggest life lesson you've learned thus far?
Always be kind to others and always love others. Just treat your neighbor as you would as yourself.
What life advice would you have given me as a sixth grader?
Be kind. Cut your hair.
To everyone. Every time you can. You don't get a chance to take things back or do things differently. So try to do it in the best way you can. That's all you can do.
I think the biggest thing that I'll take away from Macaulay is that reaching out to people is probably the most important step you can take to building friendships, building a career, building all sorts of things in life.
Macaulay really flies by. You don't really expect it, but it really does. It's crazy that 7 years have flown by in a blink of an eye.
The thing I'm going to miss most about Macaulay is being with this group of guys, some of the guys I've been with for 7 years, and it's just a special relationship. I think I'll miss the people I'm here with the most.
I'm absolutely going to miss the brotherhood, just how everybody is united. You can't see that anywhere else. This is the place where it's definitely alive.
There you go.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's what happens when you don't surround yourself with females at school for 7 years. You take AP classes.
What a wonderful school and what a great idea.
How about that? Go Birds in there.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, that's what I, you know, like when I heard that, I was like, is this a local school? Nope. Chattanooga, Tennessee.
Yeah.
So good for that kid.
There you go.
I just think this is like, you know, so much on the Kutchie. We play things in market and stuff. And I just thought it's a good way to, you know.
Yeah.
That's a feel-good story.
By the way, the redhead that is, you know, big science guy, there's your future director of the NIH one day.
Yep. Senator Marco Rubio also testified again yesterday. And just like completely – this whole thing with protesting on campuses and student visas, the Democrats just cannot let this go. But he had a good response shutting the entire thing down. Roll it.
So you revoked her student visa based on an op-ed which trumps the Supreme law of the land, which is the Constitution.
Someone's coming up here to stir up problems on our campus. We're going to revoke their visa.
She didn't do any of that. She wrote an op-ed.
Well,
she wrote an op-ed, and I'm talking to you about her particular case.
That's her lawyer's claims and your claims. Those are not the facts.
Reclaiming my time, you revoked her student visa because
proudly.
She wrote an op-ed.
And would we'll
you
do more.
Revoke,
we're going to do more.
I have another question for you. Would you revoke the...
Jayapal is no match for Marco Rubio,
yeah.
And not many people are. I, you know what? The power rankings will come out on Tuesday.
Tuesday.
Rubio might be all the way up to number two right now.
Two?
Behind Homan.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm telling you guys, you were like, no.
Power rankings on the position he's in now versus whether or not he's very capable of being the president. Two different things for me.
True.
Two different things for me. But he's been pretty damn good.
Impressive.
He is. Which is an amazing flip from 8 years ago. Remember the days of Little Marco, and he was kind of mocked, and now he is just, I mean, he's a combination of very elegant, very articulate, but he does have a little bit of, you know, a little bit of temper to him, right? He's got a little bit of that Latino heat, you know what I'm saying? But he's not like milquetoast bland. He's not Scott Bessent boring, but he's also not bombastic. But he's got that. If you get him going, he can rev up the engine a little bit. I like that.
And to your point, I almost feel like we've watched, you know, you just came from the all-boys boarding school, and in Chattanooga, Tennessee.
After seeing Jaya Paul, I want to go back to the boarding school. Physically, personally, myself.
But I feel in many ways this administration, you saw all of these different individuals duking it out on that stage back in whatever it was, back in the day in 2015, and how it's almost like they were eighth graders and literally calling each other, you know, the Trump famous names, Little Marco, this one, low energy, whatever. And so now they've sort of like graduated. You've seen the entire Republican Party evolve through this and take it to the next level now with this administration. And so you feel sort of invested in all these people. You know these people.
Well, and also I think it's some of them are just because I think a lot of them are frauds on both sides. Some of them I do think are just playing along because that's the script and the game
like
plan
who?
That Trump, maybe even Rubio to a mild extent.
Yep.
There's always this swampish weasel.
He's auditioning.
Or it could be a revelation that, hey, you know, the Republican Party is never going back to what it used to be. This is the Republican Party. So either fall in line with the agenda or you're going to be on the outs.
You don't think if Marco Rubio steps out of line, the Little Marco thing is not going to, you know, he's a total loser. We never liked him. You don't think that's all coming back out? Of course it will. We just all like him now because
he's doing a good job.
Playing the game. Yeah.
Well,
sure.
But the thing is, he is doing an effective job.
Yeah.
He's doing his job.
You can tell that he's fighting for the agenda, right? Like this is what Trump wants to impose. These are his plans. This is his vision. This is his policy.
Yeah,
and he's going to bat with 100% effort to achieve those results.
With 2028 in mind.
Sure. Absolutely. Sure. They have all got their own vested interest, skin in the game, reason for doing what they're doing, no doubt.
Speaking of student visas and commencements, Columbia University's president spoke during the commencement and defended ex-student Muhammad Khalil.
Oh, he's back in the news.
In the commencement. By the way, the graduates booed her for this. Amazing piece of audio. Cut five. Roll it.
And let me also say that we firmly believe that our international students have the same rights to freedom of speech as everyone else.
Wow.
By the government for exercising that right.
That gives me faith.
And let me also say,
what do you guys think about that?
Many in our community today
that gives me faith.
Are mourning the absence of our graduate, Mahmoud Khalil.
I mean, there's a few cheers, mm-hmm. but a few more, like a lot more boos.
Mm-hmm. Drowned her out.
Yeah.
I'm sure if you polled every student on every Ivy League campus, the majority are pro-Israel, not pro-Gaza. Whether that's 51% or 72%, I don't know.
Do you really think that?
Yeah. Wow. The reason I'm saying that is we just saw, I think, Dawn, you sent us in the group text yesterday with Swarthmore. Of the nine arrested for the pro-Gaza protests, only one was a registered student.
Mm-hmm.
So my gut feeling is, whether it's Columbia, Harvard, Yale, Brown, Dartmouth, Penn, you name it, Temple, I know that's not Ivy League, but any of these campuses that we've seen it, it's probably more non-students versus students. And 250 students doesn't necessarily speak for 37,000 that are enrolled, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's my guess.
Yeah, that video shocked me because I really believe that it was the majority of, especially Columbia. You know what I mean? I thought it was the majority of those students. But hey, look, you know, there is hope. There is hope. Jake Tapper still on his book tour. He called. So this is an amazing piece of audio. This is cut 20. He was on with Morning Joe yesterday.
Oh no.
Wait, and
Jake and Joe on MSNBC.
And he does this amazing thing where, remember when Joe Scarborough said that Joe Biden was the best Joe Biden ever? You've mentioned that many times. Cakes and, you know, yes.
Hey, real quick on a side note, are you surprised that MSNBC would allow a competing?
No, they do it all the time. Brian Stelter was on MSNBC when he was doing book tours.
All right.
Yeah, when you do a book tour, you can go on any, like they give you leeway to go on any channel you want to.
Okay.
I'm sure he'll do Fox. Actually, I think he did do Fox. I think he did Bret Baier.
Yeah, I can see that being the spot for it.
Yeah. Anyway, in the book, apparently, Jake Tapper claims that Joe Biden felt so highly, or thought so highly of Joe Scarborough, that he actually went on and he made sure that he had the best version of himself to show to Joe Biden, to Joe Scarborough. Does that make sense to you?
So Joe Biden loves Joe Scarborough so much that he wanted to be on his A game for his...
So he could tell the people that watch the show that it's the best Joe Biden I've ever seen.
Oh,
this is this according to Jake Tapper.
Okay.
He thought so highly of Joe Scarborough that he did this. Roll this amazing piece of audio.
If you're around a guy for hours and hours and hours, I guess the question is, what's the takeaway here? What did you learn? Because did you pick it up in real time?
So, I saw what everybody else saw.
One day, right?
I saw what everybody else saw, the stumbles in front of the camera and that. But I saw him in person for the State of the Union luncheon that they do with anchors in early 2023. And then I didn't see him in person other than that. I will say two things. One of them is there were more moments of non-functioning Biden behind the scenes than we were privy to, that we saw, than what we saw. If there are two Joe Bidens, there's the one that you saw that you just described,
right,
and then there's the one who's non-functioning, like what we saw at the debate night.
Pause for one second, mm-hmm. Just to comment on what he's saying here. So his excuse for covering all of this up is that, well, there's two different Joe Bidens. It was the ones that they kept hidden that we didn't see, that all the reporting is coming out now. And then there was the one that was out there that we all saw that was a good Joe Biden.
Mm. Okay. So can we then deduce that Joe was hopped up on something when he had his, quote, better or normal moments? I mean, because how can you be one thing behind the scenes and a completely different thing in front of the public and be that much different? And I'm not talking about putting on a suit or brushing your hair. I'm talking about the functional abilities.
The question,
they called it sundowning or sundowners.
But the question I have is that how did so many of us see this and these puppet heads? We're like, oh, well, the administration kept it hidden. No, they didn't.
No, they didn't.
They didn't. We saw it.
Yeah, of course. It's all a lie. It's all a lie. It's grifting on behalf of him to protect him against Trump and to keep him in office. And now that it is indefensible, it's, hey, let's flip the narrative around here and we'll profit off of that. It's like betting on both teams.
Yeah.
You remember back in the day when you had to get these the phone calls from people trying to sell you sports betting picks? And here's the little secret to that. They have 20 phone numbers, right? They call Greg and 9 other guys, and they say, bet the Phillies tonight. And then they call me and 9 other people, and they say, bet the Rockies tonight. They're guaranteed to win. That's what they're doing.
All right, this is the Joe. This is the part where Joe Biden thought so much of Joe Scarborough that he wanted to show him his best self. Roll it.
Can't follow his train of thought, can't come up with names, can't remember dates, what you listen to in the Hur report, mm-hmm. or he's like unsure of when his son deployed, unsure of when his son died. Tragic stuff, but he really honestly doesn't know those dates. That non-functioning Biden reared his head more and more and more. Now, one thing in your specific case, Joe, our reporting indicates that Joe Biden, who, as you know, is a frequent viewer of the show, saw when David Ignatius wrote that column in, I think, August 2023, saying that Joe Biden should not run for re-election because of what he had been hearing.
Right.
And he came on this show, and you guys had a robust conversation about this. You largely agreed that you'd been hearing things about this, but that there was really no alternative, that Kamala Harris was not up to the job. That's what Democrats were telling you behind the scenes. Joe Biden saw that. Joe Biden said to staffers that he wanted to convince you that you were wrong. And he focused on you like you were a constituency, like you were farmers in Iowa,
wow.
like you were the Kiwanis Club in New Hampshire. And he made sure that you thought made sure that you thought differently. I think he did this with a couple people. I think he did it with Meacham. He might have done it with Evan Osnos. He knew that there were people that had to be convinced that he was fine. And he tried to prove that to you.
You know,
wow.
the levels to which they're going now to cover this story is the same effort and coordination that they had to try to keep this story covered up for the last 5 to 7 years. I just watched the Netflix documentary on bin Laden. This, and I'm going to use the 9/11 analogy, there were warning signs that 9/11 could happen. That's been proven. There are beliefs that 9/11 was allowed to happen to further a military agenda in the Middle East with Iraq, Afghanistan, so forth and so on. Then there is the 9/11 report, right? This feels like the same thing with Joe Biden, where the warning signs were there. It was ignored. You allowed this to get to this point, and now you're circling back and saying, well, after doing some deep soul searching, the warning signs and the writing on the wall was there. It's all coordinated garbage. And they're going to go through, I mean, they're sitting there on a round table of six people. Like they're trying to, you know, figure out how they just let the most unbelievable things slip past them. They all saw it.
Yep.
This is actually more of a disservice to the American public than the initial cover up. Acting like, well, according to our reporting and our sources said indicated in 2023, yeah, Mark Halpern said in 2017 this guy was a potato head. To me, it is the biggest political cover-up, short of somebody being killed or a terrorist attack, but from just a pure politician standpoint, in my lifetime, never seen anything like it.
I got to ask the question. I don't know what Jake Tapper is doing here, because I said this yesterday, I've been saying this for a while, he's not making any fans by doing this. And if your job is to keep an audience on CNN, you're not super popular right now with the CNN crowd or the MSNBC crowd. And the Fox crowd thinks you're a phony piece of garbage.
And he was demoted, correct? He no longer does that 4 p.m. hour anymore. He's on in the morning now, isn't he?
No, he's on.
Is he later?
No, I don't think he was demoted. I think he got 2 extra hours.
Okay. But I know he's no longer in the same slot.
But my point is that if you're seeing if your job is to attract an audience and not just sell books, because, you know, like, I hate to say it, but like the book thing is going to come and go, and you still have a career that you need to. So, like, what, I don't know what he accomplished by doing this.
It's almost as if he's trying to rationalize and kind of make an admission, like almost mitigate his damages as if he's in a court proceeding. Mm-hmm. It's almost like he feels like he could be sued for this, right? Like,
you know how
CBS and 60 Minutes and the whole thing with the Kamala interview? I mean, he's not going to face any legal consequences, you know, criminally or civilly, but it's just like, I don't know what the PR strategy is with this.
In my opinion, he wants to sell this book, but remember, it was last fall, right before the November election, that there was word that Jake, as well as Wolf, their contracts were renewed. I don't know what the outs look like in that, but the report was, hey, take it or leave it.
Oh.
You get a good new contract.
Interesting.
But no raises. I mean, granted, I think they make for Jake, I think he reportedly makes about $7 million a year. But all of these anchor, you know, Lester Holt, Hoda Kotb, all these, you know, different so-called mainstream media people, what we're seeing are these huge contracts. And I think that, guys, the gravy days are over.
Oh, of course, as they ratings, should be.
Right?
Yeah, I'm surprised it's taken TV this long to get to this point, to be honest.
Well, local media came first. Nobody's making the money that they used to. And so we saw that happen even in major markets like Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
But then on top of it, the networks, it just took longer. But we're seeing it now in real time, to your point.
And nor should they make. I said this before, 75% of CNN's ad revenue comes from Big Pharma. And they don't have the audience ratings-wise, numbers-wise, to justify $7 million salaries. The only reason they get paid what they get paid is because Pfizer and these companies are running nonstop ads for arthritis and everything else under the sun that you can take. I mean, CNN's ratings, some of those shows are easily under 100,000 viewers a day. In a nation of 350 million people, there's a CNN show that's garnering 34,000 nightly viewers? 34,000?
Yeah.
Well, so think about what you're saying. At Fox, I think everybody is highly paid because they garner huge ratings. At failing. Yeah, let's just say it, failing ratings.
Huge. $3 million.
Well,
is
big
huge?
Loyalty and
well,
all of that.
Compared to the competition.
Compared to.
But yeah. It's not huge.
NBC, CBS, ABC, CNN, all of their ratings.
All those nightly news shows still far outrate the Fox News. Like the top five is always 60 Minutes, NBC Nightly News. You know what I mean? Like those are the shows that are highly rated. As far as TV
and those
goes.
Air at what, 6 or 6:30?
6:30, and then 60 Minutes airs at 7 on Sundays. So
yeah.
I think Fox probably, Greg, to the point, has a coveted demographic as people who are loyal and who will be customers of what they're advertising for.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I think probably that's the niche or niche.
And also keep in mind, and I understand who owns them, but you know. Fox News does not have a 75% revenue stream from Big Pharma. You're never going to see Pfizer advertising on Fox News, ever.
One more from Tapper, discussing the Robert Herr thing. And if I remember correctly, when the Robert Herr transcript came out, I believe they all poo-pooed it. But now Tapper says that Robert Herr was intellectually honest.
The jumbling of words.
Yeah, he was on, again, Alex Thompson was there, or Thomas, whatever his name is, was there too, and he got no words in. Cut 21, go.
That's my document.
Justice Department officials who first saw the Herr report before it was released read it and thought, oh my God, Joe Biden broke the law. Because Herr had three basic conclusions. Joe Biden, without question, mishandled classified information. But he couldn't get a conviction because he would appear so sympathetic and old, a well-meaning elderly man with a poor memory, to a jury. And therefore, he wasn't going to bring charges. That enraged both sides. But our reporting is that this was really an intellectually honest argument. He came to the conclusion Biden did mishandle this. But Biden seemed so addled in that. In those 5 hours of interviews that they did.
Yeah, and now that the book is out and everyone can read through and see, you know, what happened, and especially the day by day after the...
Honest question, has Alex Thompson actually spoken once on any of these car wash interview circuits?
He has, but
I'd like to hear what he has to say.
But
on
it's
it.
Jake Tapper that makes all the news because he's the, you know, he's the figurehead.
Intellectually honest. What exactly does that mean? Does that just further prove that he was eroding before our very eyes? I mean, I don't think anybody is sitting here saying that Joe Biden was intentionally lying. I think people say, no, Joe Biden just flat out doesn't even know today is Thursday. Mm-hmm. And we've seen Joe... where he couldn't get through one answer on The View. Now, think about the total duration of time that this Herr interview went for, which, according to Caitlin Collins, there was over 5.5 hours. Can you imagine trying to conduct an interview with somebody that might have dementia? 5 hours must have felt like 5 weeks.
Yeah.
Wow.
Chris Van Hollen was on MSNBC last night, still writing those love letters to Abrego Garcia. Find a man or a woman who loves you as much as Chris Van Hollen loves Abrego Garcia.
My wife thought she was marrying Kilmar Abrego Garcia and I was Chris Van Hollen, and then she was sadly mistaken.
Roll this.
We'll have to see, but this could be the case. The way that this is so important, not only because of the man Abrego Garcia, but because it implicates all of our Fifth Amendment rights. And it could be the first one where we find out whether they will openly defy the Supreme Court of the United States.
There you go.
Let me just say, I don't understand why that. You know what the weird part is? He apparently, obviously, because you saw the clip there, is still doing mainstream media interviews. I haven't even seen a headline written about this story in 10 days now.
Yeah.
You think they're lovers? Is this the next weird love triangle that Dawn's going to have in the news that went tragically wrong?
I mean, there were margaritas involved.
You never know
what happens when margaritas are involved.
You get a little tequila. I'm not going to lie. I get a little loosey-goosey.
That's it. Kilmar is going to say, yo, I'm going to go back to prison. I want none of this guy.
Yep.
This is creepy.
I'd rather be shanked in the joint with Van Hollen on tequila.
Don, can you talk to us about Piazza?
Of course, sir. Because we're all reporting from the Piazza Auto Group Studios and the Piazza Premium Automobile Studios. So you've heard me talk about the extensive crossover and SUV lineup available right now at Piazza Mazda. So they are offering, this is amazing, 1.9% financing on the capable CX-50, the three-row CX-90, as well as the CX-70. That's the plug-in hybrid. The sleek Mazda CX-5 and the sporty CX-30, they're available right now at 2.9%, all for 36 months. Just shop with confidence. Piazza Mazda in Westchester or Reading, as current inventory is unaffected, of course, by new tariffs. Visit them, Piazza, P-I-A-Z-Z-A, PiazzaMazda.com today. PiazzaMazda.com today. Tell them Dawn sent you.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Kale and Company, as we continue, it's a Thursday morning with Greg Stocker's Cut Sheet. A lot of people weighing in on X with all the different conversations that we've been having this morning. Wanted to read a couple of these. Max Thrax on X says, after the dementia realization tour is over, the next logical question is, who was running the country? I think we know that. Barack Obama. Kevin Poles says, Nick, you're 10,001% wrong.
Uh-oh.
AI can replace you.
Yep.
I can have AI model and mimic you. Your sure. opinions, your thoughts, even your personality.
He's right.
Want to test me?
No,
I don't want to test you.
Scary.
He's right. I'm telling you. It's not going to happen. Guys, it's not, you know, I kid. It's not going to happen. Because we're you know... The human element to what we do is vitally important.
Well, that's what Kurt says. What makes talk radio popular is the personal delivery. Yep. We, the audience, know all about the day-to-day aspects of all of you guys, including Greg.
Man, I take a lot of bullets for you guys,
yes,
don't I?
You do. You do. You were like the Secret Service. Actually, never mind.
Oh, man. I don't need to do this.
Yeah. Brian also says, Nick, do an experiment tomorrow while driving. We're talking about the automated cars and the phones and all that stuff. Drive to work and then sit down and try to remember what you did from point A to point B. It's impossible because your brain goes on autopilot. Whether using the phone or not, it's a phenomenon we can't explain.
Yeah. By the way, pull up cut 25 here. There was a deadly shooting of two Israeli embassy staff officials. They Dawn reported this at the 6 and 7 o'clock news. This CNN report says that the suspect who screamed "Free Palestine" pretended that he was an eyewitness before confessing. There's an odd twist to this story. Roll the CNN report, please.
Police have identified the suspect as a 30-year-old man from Chicago. At this point, they believe he acted alone. After the shooting, according to people at the scene, the suspect entered the museum appearing to be a witness. Those inside say he was offered comfort and water, but several minutes later confessed to the crime, saying he did it for Gaza. Here's what one witness has told CNN.
Here was a group of people trying to show humanity and take care of somebody that clearly looked in a state of distress. And unfortunately, about 5 to 6 minutes later, when more cops started to show up, he immediately walked up to the cops. He turned himself in. He said, "I did this for Palestine." He started yelling, "Free, free Palestine, Intifada revolution. There's only one solution."
According to the Israeli ambassador to the U.S., the two staffers that were killed were a young couple about to be engaged. He said they were attending an event at the museum before they were tragically gunned down.
He's hideous. Yeah. He's hideous. Ugh.
Just for clarification, so this is a Jewish museum in D.C., and the two victims are Israeli embassy staffers. Do they not have any sort of security detail?
No.
Okay.
Embassy staffers?
I'm just wondering, when you're here, now I'm assuming they came here from Israel, or they are permanently located here, or they're working here?
No, I think that one's a research assistant. Yeah. They're like in their 20s.
Okay.
They're a cute couple.
Okay.
And they were attending an event They were attending event. They were just leaving or just entering the Capitol Jewish Museum.
So there was like a big event for all these different individuals. Phil, put the screen grab you have up there right now. Just put it up there because you can see the
police have identified.
Oh, I guess you couldn't. Never mind. They're a young couple in this hideous. Eighteen. Here's the alleged. I guess I have to say alleged scumbag who chanted this after he was captured. Roll this.
Outside.
No. Free.
Oh God! I would end him.
That whole setting looks like he's just being, you know, escorted away for shoplifting.
That's gross.
You know, when we heard in the first clip, Intifada resolution, it's the only solution. Now, for all of you dopes out there that want to support that, that's the Intifada. That's what that is. That's killing you, whether you're Jewish or American, whether you're Jewish or Catholic. No matter what your race or religion might be, if you believe in Western values, they want you dead. So keep marching like an idiot.
Oh my God. They were just leaving this museum where the event was being held. So once again, it's an event that this guy apparently, allegedly had looked up and was outside kind of pacing back and forth and was just waiting for somebody to leave. So this beautiful young couple, they were, you know, out on a date night, attended this event, about to get engaged, and they're gunned down in cold blood.
Just, you know, for all of these college kids, and I said, you know, I think it's probably not the entire campus population-wise, but for all of you uneducated people out there, they view you as infidels. You're all about your equity, right? They view you as less than dirt. They are fighting a holy war. If you are not of the Muslim faith, they want you dead. Do you realize that? So when you protest, please, when Greg said earlier, why don't you just go to Gaza? Seriously, just get a flight. I don't care. Fly to Hamburg. Get a connecting flight. Get on a boat. Do whatever you have to do and just please go.
Yeah, I mean, look, we have a big problem in this country. Anti-Semitism is a huge problem in this country, and we really need to do something to address it.
Oh, but the 59 farmers from South Africa. Oh, no.
Yeah. Yeah, where's the wall-to-wall reporting on that from CNN? And you know what I mean? These scumbags.
Has ABC decided whether or not that's an unfounded report or not? Because I didn't actually see the video of those two Jewish people being killed.
It's true.
Have they verified it?
Yeah.
So as far as the suspect, you'll notice was that a CNN anchor says a 30-year-old suspect. We've known his name, so maybe later she said his name, but it's Elias Rodriguez, Chicago. They're saying he was a socialist.
Shocking.
From Chicago, so we're just starting to learn more about this alleged.
Yeah, but, of course.
And then reportedly police say, as you said, Greg, that the guy confessed.
Another progressive socialist, anti-American, hate-filled mental case.
YouTube.com/at1210WPHE. Remember, coming up at 9:10, we have another installment of Fight Club. And this time, it goes along the theme. Today's theme for the cut sheet is college and high school graduations, commencement speeches. It goes along those lines.
Can we play the graduation song coming back to kick off the 9 o'clock hour?
No. Pam. Sorry.
Today,
Pam Bondi addressed this yesterday. This was like midnight. I think that she gave this press conference. Phil, do you have this? I don't know what number it was.
I think we played it earlier, morning. Right? She had the coat on.
Yeah.
Looks like she just rolled out of bed and threw on the overcoat.
Yeah. Roll this.
Mayor. Thank you. Chief, thank you.
Thank you.
Ambassador, our hearts go out to you and your staff. I spoke to the President of the United States multiple times tonight on behalf of the President. His prayers are with all of us, all of the Jewish community, everyone in Washington, D.C., state, local, and federal agencies, and our great U.S. Attorney, Jeanine Pirro, who will be prosecuting this case. We'll be doing everything in our power to keep all citizens safe, especially tonight, our Jewish community. Our prayers go out. We have the FBI. All of our federal agencies will work hand in hand with you, Chief, as we have done, and you, Mayor, to do everything we can to keep our citizens safe. We will follow the facts. We will follow the law. And this defendant, if charged, will be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law.
I'll tell you what, Judge Jeanine's going to bust that guy up in court. Oh, boy, is she going to get a pound of flesh. That needs to be televised. I will pay personally to watch that and live stream that.
Yeah. So, all right, let's have some fun with TikTok since there's been a lot of...
I'm all genocided and murdered out. enough of the violence for today.
This is cut six here. This woman breaks down in tears after ending a friendship with her best friend of 14 years... because they supported Trump. So this woman is on TikTok crying.
Yes.
Because she had to call up her friend and ask who she voted for. When she didn't give the answer that she liked, she had to end the friendship.
We're done. It's over.
These lunatics.
14. You threw it all away you threw 14 away for 47?
Roll this.
I just texted my best friend. My best friend of 14 years. Literally half of my life. I'm 28.
Can you imagine there's so much mental illness that is happening. So much mental illness.
Right.
Everybody's so anxious. Everybody's so caught up in their feelings that they have to cry on TikTok.
Yeah.
And oh God.
F your feelings.
Yeah. Thank you.
And I asked them who they voted for. They said Donald Trump. And they said, I'm assuming you voted the opposite. And they said, yes.
That's stupid.
And then my friend texted me and said, will you still be my friend?
Oh, God.
No. No. Dead to me. Broke my heart. Crushed.
She's a mess.
Yep.
Mom. More pills.
Half of my life
gone.
This person is my best friend.
What a lunatic.
We went to the Sweet 16 together. College together. We lost our virginity in the same Chevy Bel Air.
Oh my God.
Oh, God. I'm broken.
Will you still be my friend? Nope. Sorry.
You know what? That Trump voting friend is better off today.
Agreed.
Oh. Society will be better off if she's in a straitjacket.
Can I ask you guys an honest question? Maybe because of what you guys do for a living, it's different. But like, do you know how every single one of your friend votes?
No.
Or do you care?
No.
It's ridiculous. Ridiculous. We're too caught up in this.
I have friends that like Trump that don't vote. I mean, I've got everything. I've got friends, family that are left, friends, family that are right. Friends, family that vote one way or vote the other way or like this person but don't necessarily vote. Like my best friend Barry, he loves Trump, but he's never voted in his life. So I've got the full spectrum.
But this is the way of, I think if you're independent or you're conservative, then you believe that people, you hope that they investigate, do their own research, and vote for somebody who they believe in. And so I think on our side, we're more tolerant. Mm-hmm. What you've just shown, Greg, I'm not talking about Democrats. I'm talking about this far left, you know, cuckoo progressive thing that you've just seen of deranged individuals that they don't want freedom of thought. They don't want freedom of speech. They don't want your freedom to just do your own. Do your own reading and vote for who you believe in. Mm-hmm. They don't want that.
Yep.
And that's the tough part of this.
You know who I want to vote for? Chapman Windows Doors and Siding.
Chapman, yes. Yeah. My friends at Chapman. Well, you've heard me talk about Chapman Windows Doors and Siding for years now. If you're thinking about redoing your siding, right now is the perfect time. Chapman, right now, this is the offer. 15% off James Hardy fiber cement siding as well as CertainTeed vinyl siding, both beautiful choices. Siding not just for curb appeal, obviously, it also serves as that protective barrier during all the harsh weather of all seasons. So whether you want the fiber cement siding or the vinyl, Chapman Windows, Doors, and Siding has you covered. They have more than 30 years of experience in our region, started out in Chester County, and they're going to complete every project with such care and such precision. Chapman always goes the extra mile to work with you on all the different styles and options. I can tell you that there is a Chapman difference. I've experienced it. I hope you choose to experience the Chapman difference for yourself. You can call, you can text. They're listening right now, like-minded, 610-431-8898. You can always take a virtual tour online. I recommend that, ChapmanWindowsDoors.com. And look at all those beautiful before and after photos, ChapmanWindowsDoors.com. Tell them Dawn sent you.
Start your day with Kale and Company, weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.